19 that was just read, we read about Babylon and its fall, and we've come to realize many things about that chapter and about Babylon, that the people of God have not previously known. And we're talking about all the people of God throughout all generations. They have not been aware of the truths that were hidden in Revelation 17 and 18 and in other parts of the Bible throughout the history of the world, because God in His plan, and He's very specific about this back in the book of Daniel, gave command to Daniel, who's really just an example of all the scriptures relating to end time events, where He told Daniel to seal up the words till the time of the end. And therefore, the believers could study the book of Daniel or the book of Revelation or Ezekiel, parts of Ezekiel or other parts of the Bible regarding certain details of the end, and they would not come to a full and complete understanding of these things. They could learn certain truths. They could get, certainly they knew Christ would return, the world would be destroyed, there would be a time of great tribulation. They could learn these things. But as far as the exact details, God had sealed that up until the time of the end. Now in verse 1 of Revelation 18, it says, "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with His glory." This angel is the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's coming down from heaven, and of course Christ has great power. And remember, when I say the angel is Christ, we have to keep in mind that that word angel can be translated as messenger, and Jesus is the messenger of the covenant, the Bible says. He's also likened as Michael the archangel in the book of Daniel. So He comes down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with His glory. What do you think that means, that the earth was lightened with His glory? What is God indicating by that language, that the earth is lightened at this point in time? And then the next thing we're going to read in verse 2 is that Babylon falls. And then a little later on, we're familiar with the command to come out of her, my people. But God begins it all in verse 1 when He says, "The earth is lightened by the glory of this mighty angel who comes down from heaven." Well, that word "lighten" is found in Ephesians chapter 1. And in verses, I'll read verses 17 and 18. And I think we'll get a very good idea of what is being said back in Revelation 18. In verse 17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." That's the word "lighten." You see, and what is Ephesians 1 telling us? It's saying that God will give the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You're going to increase in knowledge when the eyes of your understanding are enlightened. And in Revelation 18, the first verse in this most important chapter dealing with Babylon, the mighty angel comes down from heaven and the earth is enlightened. It is time for the opening up of the seals, the book that has been sealed. And let's go back to Daniel real quick. In Daniel 12. Remember what it says there? And we're getting familiar with these verses, and that's good. In verse 4 of Daniel 12. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even till the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." What does that mean? The eyes of your understanding will be enlightened at the time of the end. The earth will be enlightened. There will be an opening of the Scriptures at the time of the end. And the angel, immediately in Revelation 18, verse 1, is enlightening the earth. Enlightening not everyone, because some people hear these things and they dismiss them as spiritualizing the Bible. They dismiss them as having no basis in truth because their church dismisses them and they just follow what their churches believe. But the people of God who are found all across the world will begin to understand what the Bible is teaching, is what it's saying. Because now is the time when God is opening up these things, and just as Jesus on the road to Emmaus, there was two disciples, and they saw this man, and they didn't know it was Christ. And then as they walked together, Jesus began to explain to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And it says that He opened their understanding. And then they began to realize what the Word of God was saying regarding the Messiah and regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what it is to have your eyes, the eyes of your understanding, open. And that's what Revelation 18:1 is declaring. The earth was lightened with His glory. Why do we understand Revelation 18 right now? Why do we understand what these things represent, that Babylon is a figure of the church? How have we come to that conclusion? How have we arrived at that understanding? Are we more intelligent than the saints of old? Do you think anyone alive today is more diligent or intelligent than Calvin or Luther or Knox or these men of old? They were studied in the Hebrew, the Greek, and Latin. These men memorized large portions of the Scripture. It's the only way they could compare Scripture with Scripture. They didn't have Bible helps like concordances and interlinears like we have today. They just simply immersed themselves in the Word of God. And they did not have the understanding of end time events, because the earth was not lightened with the glory of the Lord as it is today. And so now the people of God, from those that spend a lot of time in the Word to those that might be a child, you can ask a child who's under the hearing of the Word of God, who as it's being faithfully taught, what does Babylon represent? Who is the man of sin? And they can answer you, because God is revealing this truth to His people, to His people during this time. Well, then in verse 2 of Revelation 18, it says, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." And this is what we want to look at today, the fall of Babylon. The fall of Babylon. You know, God very specifically details or gives us the information in the Bible about the fall of Babylon. Remember back in the book of Daniel, in chapter 5, where God actually tells us what took place on the very night that Babylon fell. In Daniel 5, and I'll just read from verse 1. "Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. You see, here is Babylon. Here is Babylon, and just as we have Babylon in Revelation chapter 18, and the king of Babylon, and they're having a feast. They're using the vessels that were in the house of the Lord, but were taken into Babylon during the captivity. And they're just praising the false gods, and really they're mocking the true God. They're mocking the true God of the Bible. And yet in the same hour, now that's significant language, because remember what Revelation 18 says, in 1 hour is thy judgment come. In the first part of that hour, there's mockery. There's shaking their fist at God. Just like in the first half of the Great Tribulation, the two witnesses are lying dead in the street. There's silence in heaven for a half hour. And yet, in the same hour, which I think we can understand to mean after that first part of the Great Tribulation, comes forth these fingers that write something on the wall. And what do those fingers represent? What do those fingers represent? And the king sees a part of a man's hand, and he sees just this vague writing on the wall by fingers. How did God write the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments were written by the finger of God, the Bible says. Remember Jesus, when the woman was taken in adultery, He stooped down and with His fingers He wrote on the ground. The finger represents the writing of the Word of God. This is the Word of God that the Babylonians are seeing. They can sense there's something very ominous about this writing, something very dangerous to them about this writing, but they have no ability to understand the writing. They cannot discern the writing. They cannot interpret the writing at all. The Word of God cannot be understood, in other words, but it relates to the judgment of God. It relates to the Great Tribulation because it's being written in that hour. And yet, they have no clue. They call all the wise men of Egypt, and that nobody understands. Just like the church today. The church today does not understand Revelation 17 or Revelation 18 or Revelation 11 or Matthew 24 or Luke 21. You can pile up actually whole books. They don't understand the book of Jeremiah, the book of Ezekiel. They don't understand tons of scripture that God has given concerning end time events because it's been sealed to them. But now they have a sense that there's something terribly set forth in that word that is a word towards them, but they cannot understand. And so they call Daniel. Daniel is called because the queen remembered the account of Daniel as he would interpret the dreams of Belshazzar's father, Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel is called forth. The name Daniel means judge of God. Or another way of saying it, God is judge or something like that. It's actually looking at the judgment of God. As Daniel is brought forth, and it says in verse 16 of Daniel 5, "And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations, and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. And Daniel just tells him to keep that to yourself. And I mean, Daniel is going to interpret the writing, which basically is going to let him know the kingdom's destroyed. None of that is worth anything. It's valueless. You let those gifts be to yourself, but I will interpret for you the writing. And then in verse 24, this is Daniel. Then was the part of a hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. The fall of Babylon. The fall of Babylon, and isn't it very interesting that God gives a writing that nobody can interpret, but then once it's interpreted, it reveals that Babylon is going to fall. The writing was sealed up to the Babylonians. It was sealed up to them. They could not properly understand it. They just had a vague sense that it was something awful. But once it is revealed, then it reveals that God's judgment is upon Babylon, that now is the time that Babylon is falling. And that's exactly what Revelation 18 is saying. Verse 1, the earth is lightened. God is opening up the understanding of the word that has been hidden. And what is it revealing? The fact that Babylon is fallen. Babylon is fallen, that the church age has come to an end, that God is finished using the churches and congregations of the world, that their testimony is no longer required by God. And so this is the truth that Daniel is now given access to. Daniel can now interpret the writing. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 36. And read from verse 20. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years, or 70 years. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. Let him go up. Babylon falls at the hands of the Medes and the Persians. Cyrus is the king over the Medes and the Persians, and immediately he issues a proclamation, go up to Jerusalem and build the house of God. Go up and begin to build the house of God. Now the 70-year period, you see, as we look historically at the fall of Babylon, it fell after 70 years. But doesn't that 70-year period typify the Great Tribulation? Isn't that 70 years the whole, a figure of the whole length of the Great Tribulation following the 70 years? Wouldn't that be the end of the world? That's how we have understood that 70-year period. But historically, Babylon falls after 70 years. God in Revelation 18 verse 2 is saying Babylon is fallen. Is that the end of the world in Revelation 18? No, because in a couple verses later he says, "Come out of her, my people," which we rightly understand to mean that it's God's call to come out of the churches. And if, you know, that means we're presently living in a day when, spiritually speaking, Babylon has fallen and the people of God are coming out. So, well, does that mean that that 70-year period is not pointing to the end of the world? And the answer is no. You see, it's pointing to both. Remember, God uses two pictures. He uses one picture where He typifies Jerusalem as the church. And when the people in Jerusalem are commanded to go into captivity, they're told to go into Babylon into captivity. That's the first figure that God uses. And as they come out of Jerusalem and enter into Babylon, that's the picture of leaving the church. And therefore, the end of that 70-year period of being in Babylon would be the end of the world. The second picture is God pictures the church as Babylon, as He does in Revelation chapter 18. And now the command is not to go into captivity into Babylon, as it was with Jerusalem, but the command is come out of Babylon. And so historically, that took place after 70 years. And then the people of God came out. The Jews left Babylon. They went up to Jerusalem to build the house of God. And spiritually speaking, when God speaks about building the house of God, that means we share the gospel and people become saved and they're added to that spiritual house of God. We come out of the church and we begin to work in getting the gospel out to the world, and then the house of God is rebuilt in a sense, because the first house, the corporate body, was destroyed. But really, we're operating, we're working on the spiritual house of God. Let's go to Isaiah 23, and I think maybe this will help everyone to see what God is saying by the fall of Babylon and the end of the 70 years. In verse 14 of Isaiah 23, "How, ye ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste." The ships of Tarshish. Tarshish, or Tyre, is another picture of the corporate church. It's just like saying Jerusalem. It's just like saying Babylon in some context. And Tyre is another picture. Verse 15, "And shall come to pass in that day that Tyre," or the corporate church, "shall be forgotten 70 years." Now, to be forgotten means there's no salvation. There's no blessing of God. Remember the psalm that says, "O Lord, have you forgotten to be gracious? Have you forgotten?" You see, when God forgets you, there's no blessing of God. There's no mercy of God. And so Tyre will be forgotten 70 years according to the days of one king. And the word "after" is not in the text. "The end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as a harlot." Now, if the 70 years picture the end of the world, why at the end of 70 years will Tyre sing as a harlot? Because at the end of 70 years, then God begins to look at the church as Babylon, the harlot, as we see in Revelation 17 and Revelation 18. Look at verse 16. "Take a harp, go about the city, thou harlot that has been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs that thou mayest be remembered. And shall come to pass the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire, and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. Now let's go back to Revelation 18. And it says in verse 3, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." In other words, after 70 years, Tyre is not destroyed. She begins to sing as a harlot. She begins to commit fornication with all the kings of the earth. She is a picture of the church that has become Babylon. And so God is using two pictures. We always knew that. He pictures the church as Jerusalem and He pictures the church as Babylon. When He views the church as Babylon, then the 70 years, the end of that 70 years takes on a different meaning, and it takes on the meaning of the end of the church age, basically, when the believers are called to come out of the churches and the congregations. Let's go to Jeremiah 50. And Jeremiah 50 and 51 are dealing with Babylon, just as Revelation 17 and 18 deal with Babylon. Look at verse 9. "For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her." Now go down to verse 14. "Put yourselves in array against Babylon round about, all ye that bend the bow, shoot at her. Spare no arrows, for she has sinned against the Lord. Shout against her round about. She hath given her hand. Her foundations are fallen. Her walls are thrown down. For it is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance upon her. As she hath done, do unto her." Now go back to Revelation 18. Keep your finger there in Jeremiah 50. Revelation 18, verse 6. "Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works." That's what we just read in Jeremiah 50. "Reward her as she has rewarded you, as she or as she has done, do unto her." And God is saying that Babylon's foundations are fallen, her walls are fallen, and it is the vengeance of the Lord. Now, in the same context, look at verse 28 of Jeremiah 50. "The voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of His temple." God first says Babylon has fallen. If that's the end of the world, if that's the end of the world earlier in verse 15, then why does it go on to say in verse 28, "the voice of them that flee"? Because that is the same picture of Revelation 18, verse 4, where it says, "Come out of her, my people." And what are they that fleeing declaring? The vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of His temple. Just like believers today are declaring these things, that God is judging the church because they have been unfaithful and His church has been desecrated. It is the vengeance of His temple. Or look at Jeremiah 51. And in verse 6, "Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her recompense. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore the nations are mad. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. How for her? Take balm for her pain, if so be she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go, everyone, into his own country. For her judgment reacheth unto heaven and is lifted up even to the skies." The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon, make the watch strong, set up the watchmen, prepare the ambushes, for the Lord hath both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. Again, it's the vengeance of the Lord. And notice that it says, raise up the spirit of the kings and the Medes. And historically, that took place in that night when Belshazzar was slain and Cyrus took the kingdom. King Cyrus took the kingdom that very night. Well, Cyrus is a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 44, God points that out. He calls Cyrus my shepherd. So Cyrus now has taken the kingdom and he is going to command his people to go up to Jerusalem and build the house of God, just as, and Cyrus is a picture of the shepherd, just as the Lord Jesus Christ is pictured as the shepherd in Ezekiel 34 that is taking care of his flock that have fled to the mountains. But what is this vengeance of the temple? Doesn't that relate to the end of the world and Judgment Day? Isn't that the time when God will take vengeance? The Lord says, vengeance is mine. Isn't that when He'll have vengeance? Is God taking vengeance now during the Great Tribulation? Oh, let's finally go to Luke 21 and look at verse 21. Well, I'll start reading in verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance. Is that the end of the world? No, that's the Great Tribulation. That's the time where Jerusalem is compassed about and God calls His people out, depart out of the midst. These be the days of vengeance. You see, when Babylon falls, again and again, we saw in Jeremiah 50 and Jeremiah 51 that God was saying this is the vengeance of His temple. He raises up the spirit of the Medes and the Persians for the vengeance of His temple. These are the days of vengeance. The 70 years can look at the end of the world, but when it relates to Babylon and the fall of Babylon, how else are we to understand it? When God says in Revelation 18, verse 2, Babylon is fallen, aren't we supposed to go back in history and look at the historical record at the fall of Babylon? When God says in Luke 21, Jerusalem is compassed with armies, do we not then go back to the book of Jeremiah and we see that Jerusalem was indeed compassed with armies and we gain spiritual insight from that? And so historically, if God says Babylon has fallen, there's only one time in history when that actually took place, when as a nation they were destroyed, and that's when the Medes and the Persians conquered them. And since God then goes on to say in Revelation 18 and verse 4, He goes on to say, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. We know that this is not the end of the world, but it's the end of the church age. And so as we think about the fall of Babylon, now this is very important. It's extremely important because how are we going to understand Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther if we don't first understand that as they're building Jerusalem in those books It relates to the time when Babylon has fallen and the people of God have come out to rebuild the temple. Or how do we understand the book of Haggai, which deals with that subject, or the book of Zechariah, which also deals with that subject. So, you see, and I think we've been struggling with that because we're stuck on that 70 years. We're stuck on there. That's pointing to the end of the world. All right, well, what's going on in Ezra? What's going on in Nehemiah? What period of history are those books dealing with? Could it be that they're dealing with the latter rain? They're dealing with the time that we're living in. And I think if we start looking at those books in that way, that they could begin to open up. Well, let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do pray that